السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we were discussing the incident in the life of Hazrat Hatim Asam and Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, mentioned in a letter written by Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh to his student who had asked him for some nasihats. You are aware of the background already. Without going into any further detail on that, on the background, so Hazrat Hatim Asam, when he was questioned by his Shaykh Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, that now that you are departing, you are leaving, tell me, what did you learn in the 33 years that you spent with me? I mentioned very clearly that this was the desire of every Muslim, a true Muslim, that he must connect himself very, very firmly and strongly with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that he must purify himself outwardly and also inwardly. Most of our purification today is with regards to our outward selves. And there is no doubt that there is a need for outward purification, because it has an effect on the heart itself. If a person remains in dirty clothes, if he is a musafir, he is a traveler, his clothes got stolen, or he is a poor person, he cannot afford another set, and he is on a journey, then it is excusable. But we are talking about a person who has, Allah Ta'ala has provided him with sufficient clothing. He has soap, he has water, he can take a bath, he can change into good clothes. Then if he remains in dirty clothes, then the effect of the dirt will also come onto his heart. In whatever kind of environment a person lives, the effect of that environment comes into the heart of that person. One day a friend of mine visited a zoo or a park where there were monkeys and other animals. And afterwards he came to fetch me. So I just got the smell of some animals, monkeys or some other animals. And I asked him that, have you been to some zoo or some place where there have been animals? So he said, yes. Now, from where did I get that smell? From the clothes of his. He remained a little while in that environment, in that area where there were animals. So whichever animals were there, the scent of that animal affected the clothes of this person, and we could inhale and say that this person came from a certain place. A fisherman, when he returns from the beach or from the sea, and he comes with his rod and with his bait and with all the other things that are required for fishing, even if he does not say that I have been fishing, but just the smell on the clothes of the person, and we will say this person has been for fishing. It is a very common thing. The same with all other environments that a person goes to. Go to one of the poultry plants and spend half an hour in that poultry plant where they are slaughtering thousands of chicken. And when we come out, we will also smell like chicken. So if these environments can have such an impact and effect on the heart, on the clothes of a person, on the body of a person, it can change the whole odor and smell of the clothes of that person, then those who go into the company of the Ahlullah, those who are the friends of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, those who are the walis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, those who have made mujahada, mushaqqat, they have made an effort, they have suppressed their nafs, and they have brought into their hearts Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So staying in their companies, you think is not going to affect the person? In their company, you think there's going to be no effect? When the environment of these animals and fish and chicken can affect a person. So this was the desire of the people in the past, that they were not just interested in outward beauty. Beautification, it is permissible to a certain extent. But all our concentration at present is on our outward selves. That we must look presentable. We must look smart. We must look good. And there is nothing wrong if with the ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala a person looks good and smart. There is nothing wrong if we make shukr. So don't misunderstand me. But to think that our outward is sufficient, that is a big mistake that we are making. That we are quite happy and satisfied with our outward selves. If we have got the garment of the pious and the righteous on ourselves, then we take it for granted that our heart is also in good condition. Whereas that is not always the case. In fact, even the physical heart, recently there have been cases of people who outwardly looked very, very fit and healthy. They were exercising. They were very particular about their diets. They were not just eating any kind of food. They were very, very particular about what type of food they ate. And they were also particular about their exercise. And they followed a very rigid pattern for the sake of good health. And if somebody had to see them, then he would say that this is a very fit person. Look at him, he's jogging, he's running. And yet, within seconds, after some slight chest pain, they were rushed to hospitals for bypass, and they were told that your arteries are clogged. And they did not even suspect that they were physically ill, that the heart was not in a good physical condition, which means that it could have collapsed any time. But even if that heart collapsed, at the most it would have led to death and the Qabristan. But what I am saying is that most of us, we take it for granted that if we have got the libas of the salihin on our bodies, or if we have got good clothing, if our bodies are clean, then our hearts are also clean. We don't make any effort on the purification of this heart. And that is the reason that we are facing major problems within our homes, in our society, in our businesses, in our relationship with our family members, with our clients and customers, in our relationship with our elders, with those who are younger than us. Everywhere there is a problem, because we have not made an effort on the purification of this heart. We are just satisfied with our outward selves. Whereas the real thing is to bring that ruh and the soul into our a'mal. From kitabs and from listening to talks, what we do get is the wujud of a'mal. That means those a'mal and those actions, they become apparent. But the ikhlas we can only get, and the sincerity we can only get from those who have got sincerity in their hearts. A person goes to a person that is selling clothes. If he wants to buy clothes, then he will go to a shop where they sell clothes. If he wants mitai, then Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says that the person will go to a mitai shop. He says, mitai walo se milti hai. Kapda kapde walo se milta hai. گوش گوش والوں سے ملتا ہے. If you want meat, then you will go to the butcher. He says, Allah, Allah والوں سے ملتا ہے. Where will you get Allah? Allah you will get by those who have got Allah Ta'ala with them. Not those who are just giving flowery speeches. Allah Ta'ala will not just come like that. So in that incident of Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayh, this is the lesson for us. That something which we take for granted, which we consider as insignificant today, is the sohbat and the company of the Ahlullah. Whereas they have got Allah in their hearts and in their company, then we will get Allah into our hearts. It passes on, it transfers. There is that noor and that connection. If a person has held onto his hand a naked wire through which the current is flowing, then he will get a shock. And if someone has to touch him, then he will also get the shock. If a person is holding on to a naked wire, then the shock in his body, if you have to touch him, then that current will flow into your body too. But there is a difference, that that current will kill. The current of this world, it kills. It causes the death of a person. But the Ahlullah, they have got the current of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala coming into their hearts. And when we touch them, I'm not talking about just physically touching. It means in their company. And in fact, even in the touching and making musafa with them, or even looking at them, then that current of that muhabbat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala touches us also and comes into our hearts. And that current does not cause death, it brings life into that person's heart. That current brings life into the person's heart. Dead hearts become alive. That heart which never ever experienced what joy and happiness was in the pleasure, in doing a'mal for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That heart which never ever experienced what closeness of Allah Ta'ala meant, and what the muhabbat of Allah meant, and what the ma'rifat of Allah meant, and what the yaqeen in Allah meant, and what tawakkul and trust in Allah Ta'ala meant, now those hearts become alive, and they sense, they experience. And I'm not telling you this just as fairy tales. You heard, I think I mentioned in one of the Jummah bayans, a young person who was in the rave club. That was his lifestyle. Drugs and dancing and raves and all kinds of filth. And then he slept away in the toilet. And he experienced as if his soul was coming out of his body, and that's a long story. But after that he started attending the programs here. And then he said that I made tawbah from all my sins. Now on my return I received his letter in which he says that I made extra effort to remain far away from sins whilst you were away for the week. And alhamdulillah, the experience that I had never ever had in my life. There was such enjoyment in my namaz. There was such enjoyment in my zikr. I felt if my Allah was with me, there was such an ecstasy, such a joy, such an happiness that I wished people had just left me in my state. And he goes on with the description which the Ahlullah, they experience. Now this young person who was in such filth, now he is experiencing this type of closeness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with just a little effort, with a little suppression of his nafs. That desire will remain in the heart to go and have illicit relationship. That desire will remain in the heart to go and look at all those beautiful women that are walking on the streets. But that is where the test of iman is. The test of iman is not in the masjid. In the masjid, all of us will read namaz. In the masjid now, nobody will commit zina here. In the masjid here, nobody will start making ghibat whilst the bayan is on now. In the masjid here, no person will start stealing if he's got a little bit of iman. Although nowadays, even in the masjids, a lot of stealing goes on. Even in the Kaabatullah, they won't leave anything in your pockets. But what I am saying is that in the masjid is not the place for the test of iman. The test of iman is in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, in the homes, at the airports, in the aeroplanes. There the haji sahab forgets also that he's a haji sahab. The qari sahab and the mufti sahab and the maulana sahab, each and every one is tested there. Even if the person is going out for deen work and deen activities and deeni jamaat, he is also tested there to see whether he's got the khawf of Allah in his heart, or he is the nafs, or is the ghulam and the servant and the slave of nafs and shaitan. So that was the reason that these people spent 33 years and 30 years and 50 years. It was so that their inward and outward both conforms with the Quran and with the Sunnah and with the Sharia. Their life becomes Sharia. Their lifestyle then becomes Sharia. It becomes difficult for them to do anything against Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will and Allah Ta'ala's command and Allah Ta'ala's hukam. So therefore he said that I learned 8 lessons. I discussed the first one. Hazrat Shaqi Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, after listening to the first lesson that he learned, he says, in 33 years you learned only 8 lessons. What are they? Before you depart now, tell me. So the first one he said is that I saw that every person in this world loves something or the other. But when he dies, he leaves it behind. He does not take it with him. No one has taken his Mercedes Benz. No one has taken his Rolls Royce. No one has taken his crown and his throne. And no one has taken his oil well. And no one has taken his properties with him. In fact, sometimes it is such a sad scene, such a sad scene, that a person, all his life he makes an effort on nothing but dunya. It is permissible to earn the dunya, but to give our heart to that dunya is haram. To earn that dunya is permissible, not only permissible, after the other farais, kasbul halal farizatun ba'dal fariza, after the other farais, it is first to earn halal livelihood. But when a person gives his heart to it, then there's no namaz, there's no concern about roza, zakat, there's no concern about halal and haram, because now he has given his heart to it. So it becomes so sad a scene when that person's life is suddenly taken away, and we see outside his house so many cars, and we see beautiful building, and they say this is his business, and this was his oil well, and this was his throne, and this was his crown. We look at all that, and we say, but where is he now? So he says, therefore I gave my heart to amal salihah, to righteous deeds, because these righteous deeds will accompany me even into the grave. And I think I explained that you don't have to leave the world, you don't have to go away into the jungles. It is not permissible to divorce the wife and the children and divorce the society and go away and live on a mountain top like a hermit. In Islam, that is not permissible. You live in the society, you continue with your businesses, you marry, you bring up the children, you do everything that a normal human being does, but only thing, we do it in accordance with Allah and His Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's command. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe, wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe, dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe. In their activities of life also their hearts were with Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Mullah Ashraf Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, once he told Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali on that one couplet of his, he said, if I had millions, I would give it to you. Ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi, har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. That all my desires have left my heart, I've got no other desire. Oh Allah, I've emptied my heart for you, now you come away into this heart of mine. And when Allah Ta'ala will come into that heart, that person you think is going to be deprived of risk and sustenance? You think that person who has tried to please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and he has shunned all evil, and he has suppressed his nafs, and he has taken the pain upon his heart when people were enjoying themselves in the cinemas and theaters and drug dens and casinos, and all the vices and all the evils, and when they were taunting and jeering and laughing and making a mockery of this person, that what you are trying to act like a Sufi sahab in these times and in these days, enjoy yourself, watch the filthy videos and movies. In this country everything is free now. In the past it was all banned and you didn't have the opportunity to see the porn movies and the porn magazines. So now enjoy yourself. See how we are all enjoying ourselves, young, fit and healthy. But this person used to say that I want to please my Allah. For if he becomes displeased with me, then it is his promise in the Quran Sharif, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْكَا. the person who will turn away from my remembrance, in other words, he will do against my hukam, then I will make his life miserable. Allah Ta'ala said, we will make his life miserable. Look at those who have got Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, and look at them in the conditions of poverty, they still got sukoon. Look at them in the condition of sickness, they have still got sukoon in their hearts. Look at them in the condition of weakness, but they have still got sukoon in their hearts. Why? Because Allah is with them. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitan mein. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitan mein. Dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, abre rahmat ki barish hai jaamein. O Allah, with whomsoever you are pleased, then he is in gardens all the time. You have heard this many times, but let us bring it into our lives. O Allah, whomsoever you are pleased with, then he is in gardens. O shab o roz hai gulsitame. Day and night he has got gardens in his heart. Because Allah Ta'ala, who is the creator of gardens, is with him. Allah Ta'ala, who is the creator of Jannat, when he is in the heart of the person, then this person, where does he need all the other filth to entertain him? But the person will still be cheerful, he will smile, he will talk, he will laugh, he will be pleasant with his wife and children, he is not going to be harsh, he is not going to be hard-hearted, he will have all the beautiful characteristics and akhlaq of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his life, that he will be like a magnet and an attraction. Why? Because he's got Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with him. Jisse hain aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitan mein. But then as human beings, we may fault, we may err, we may slip, we may make mistakes, we may commit a sin accidentally. So then again, there is no such thing in Islam as despairing of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. There's no such thing as no hope business in Islam. That no hope business may be in some other religion and faith, but as a Muslim, there is no question of saying that there is no hope. I despair of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Allah Ta'ala kept the doors of Tawbah open for that person until his dying day. Sincere Tawbah. He must make Tawbah with Sidq Dil. Then Allah Ta'ala is prepared to accept him. Therefore he says, Dekh kar mere ashke nadamat. That when this person sheds tears of repentance, he says, Oh Allah, I am ashamed of what I am doing in my life. I should not have disobeyed you. You are my creator. You are my sustainer. My food is provided by you. My health is given by you. My sight given by you. My hearing, my speech, my liver, my heart, my lungs. Everything given by you. Therefore, I should not have disobeyed you. But I fell prey to nafs and shaitan's temptations. But I am ashamed. I am not happy. I am not bragging about my sins. I am not advertising my sins. I am not going to town telling everybody what a wonderful crook I am, or in how much of evil I have indulged, and how many sinful and illicit relationships I have had. No, my Allah, I am ashamed. Therefore he's tearing before Allah. And when these tears of shame fall, Dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, when Allah Ta'ala, he says that, looking at my tears of shame and nadamat, abre rahmat ki barish hai jame. Outwardly from my eyes tears are falling, but it is in reality the rains of rahmat which are falling onto my heart. Outwardly it's tears which are coming out of my eyes and going down my cheek, but in reality these tears are the rains of rahmat which are pouring onto my heart. In sins there is a little bit of lazzat and a little bit of enjoyment and a little bit of pleasure. Ye mana masiyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. There is a little bit of enjoyment, and that to sinful kind, like a criminal who steals and makes use of something. In sins, magar us palne wale se ye kaisi baghawat hai. What a kind of rebellion this is against the one who has created you and who is sustaining you. Zara si der ki lazzat, hamesha ki nadamat hai. Just a little while of pleasure and enjoyment, But sometimes it can bring lifelong shame, embarrassment, humiliation on that person. Zarasi deraki lazzat. A person who is committing rape and is arrested, how much did he enjoy in that rape? But hamesha ki nadamat hai. It will be on the tongues of the people till this dying day that this person is a rapist. Other sins also look at it in the same light. Zarasi deraki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza apne aabru ka dafn karna ye kaisi himaqat hai. Allah Ta'ala, who created us with respect, with honor, He gave us honor and respect. If we had stayed away from sins and from vices and from evil, then Allah Ta'ala would have given us a place of respect and honor in the society. Now to bury that honor for that little while of pleasure, what kind of stupidity and foolishness is that? But when the temptation comes, the person won't even remember at that time all what I am saying now. So this develops, this himmat and courage in a person comes only when he stays in the company of those who have got Allah Ta'ala in their hearts. Then the himmat comes in the person. It becomes easy for that person to practice. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. The time expires so quickly, just as the time of our life is expiring so quickly. These days the visas of life are getting cancelled so suddenly that we all must be ever ready. We must be ever ready. We do not know when death will come and take us away to rise no more from our graves. So before that day comes, let us make the right effort and bring Allah into our hearts. Inshallah ta'ala, in the right majlises and the right programs, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give us that himmat and that courage to go on that route that connects us with Him. And it's a beautiful route. It's not difficult. It's simple. It's easy. It's practical. There's beauty in it. Just a little suppression of the nafs is required. Brothers, the conditions in Palestine are also becoming very, very frightening, and it seems like the signs of Qiyamah are coming nearer and nearer, and the advent of Imam Mahdi and all the other incidents that will take place, it seems like we are heading towards that. Every development in the Middle East is pointing towards that. So we must make a lot of dua that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protects and safeguards Masjid al-Aqsa, our Muslim brothers and sisters, and all the difficulties and the trials that they are going through. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must remove them. Allah must send His help, His nusrat, His madad, and Allah Ta'ala must give them assistance via the angels, just as He assisted the Muslims in the Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, and other places. Allah Ta'ala must save the Muslims also from making zulm on the others. Because just as someone else making zulm and injustice on a Muslim brings the wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in the same way, if a Muslim does injustice to another, even though he may not be a Muslim, then it also brings wrath of Allah Ta'ala. So there must be with the Sharia, the Quran and the Sunnah that has to be followed in every field of life. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.